You know, I just want to start by saying I didn't realise how popular I was until I got Facebook. You know, every year I get a nice selection of birthday cards. It was my birthday on Thursday. And the usual people, the ones you expect to get birthday cards from. But the amount of Facebook greetings I've had, I said to Andrew, I said, Stuart sent me happy birthday, why? Mr. Stuart from Rugeley. But because I'm on Facebook, you see, and it's wonderful, isn't it? I hated it last year. He put me on Facebook on the computer and I said, take me off, there's too many people. But now I've got my own little Kindle and I can do it whenever I want to, and I'm getting used to it. It's wonderful. So it boosts your self-esteem, your ego and stuff when you get lots of greetings from people all over the place. And I'm really blessed because my birthday is always around Mother's Day. So I'm doubly blessed. I get a birthday with loads of cards and I get Mother's Day with cards. And, you know, to get cards off your children, it's just such a blessing. Sorry? I missed that. But now it'll be May when I get birthday cards, Mother's Day cards off my kids, because one's in Australia and it's May, and the other's in America and it's May. So, but I'm still blessed, even though they're miles away. It's just God's really good. Now I want to read something that I years ago, I don't know if it was Pete downloaded it or somebody downloaded it off the internet, and I've kept it in my back of my Bible, and it's a bit, do they call it poetic license, some of the wording, but I think it's worth saying. It's called By the Time the Lord Made a Woman, because it is Mother's Day, so I'm talking about the fact of the ladies. I'm talking to the men here as well, but, you know, forgive me when I major on the ladies, because it is their day today, right? It says, by the time the Lord made a woman, he was into the sixth day of working overtime. Oh, no, he wasn't. An angel appeared and said, why are you spending so much time on this one? And the Lord answered, "And have you seen my spec sheet on her? She has to be completely washable, but not plastic, and have over 200 movable parts, all replaceable, and able to run on Diet Coke and leftovers. She's got to have a lap that can hold four children at a time, and have a kiss that can cure anything from a scraped knee to a broken heart, and she will do everything with only two hands." Well, the angel was astounded at the requirements. Only two hands? No way. And that's just on the standard model. That's too much work for one day. Wait until tomorrow to finish. But I won't, the Lord protested. I am so close to finishing this creation that it's so close to my heart. She already heals herself when she's sick and can work 18-hour days. The angel moved closer and touched the woman. But you've made her so soft, Lord. She is soft, the Lord agreed, but I've also made her tough. You have no idea what she can endure or accomplish. Will she be able to think? Asked the angel. The angel. The Lord replied, not only will she be able to think, she will be able to reason and negotiate. The angel then noticed something and reached out, touching the woman's cheek. Oops, it looks like you've got a leak in this model. I told you that you were trying to put this one too much into this one. That's not a leak, the Lord corrected, that's a tear. What's the tear for? The angel asked. The Lord said, the tear is her way of expressing her joy and her sorrow. Her pain, her disappointment, her love, her loneliness, her grief, her pride. The angel was impressed. You are a genius, Lord. You thought of everything. Woman is truly amazing. And she is. I'm biased, of course. So women have strengths that amaze men. They bear hardships, they carry burdens, but they hold happiness, love and joy. They smile when they want to scream, very true. They sing when they want to cry. They cry when they are happy and laugh when they're nervous. They fight for what they believe in. They stand up to injustice. They don't take no for an answer when they believe there is a better solution. They go without so their family can have. They go to the doctor with a frightened friend. They love unconditionally. They cry when their children excel and cheer when their friends get awards. They are happy when they hear about a birth or a wedding. Their hearts break when a friend dies, and they grieve at the loss of a family member. Yet they are strong when they think there is no strength left. They know that a hug and a kiss can heal a broken heart. Women come in all shapes and sizes and colours. They'll drive, fly, walk, run, email you to show you how much they care about you. The heart of a woman is what makes the world keep turning. They bring joy, hope and love. They have compassion and ideals. They give moral support to their family and friends. Women have vital things to say and everything to give. However, if there's one flaw in a woman, only one, it is that they forget just how much they're worth. So this morning, ladies, this is to tell you just how much you're worth. And I'm sure all the men here agree.
Yes.
So they better do, anyway. Excuse me a minute.
She's loved me again.
Anyway, when Andrew asked me if I'd like to speak because it was Mother's Day, I thought about it and thought about it, and I was tempted to say no. But I thought, no, go on. You know, we're all capable of more than we think through Jesus, through God. So I'm here this morning in the strength of the Lord. And I thought, first of all, I was going to talk about women of the Bible. I've got a lovely book called Prayers to the Eyes of Women of the Bible, and there's a lot of women in there that, you know, some of them I didn't even really know about. So I thought I'd start with Eve. You know, I'm terrible. Whenever I'm going to do something, I start at the beginning, and it's too big. You know, the whole thing is just too big. It's not at the beginning of the Bible. I mean, look how thick the Bible is, and we'd be here more than a day, we'd be here a week. But I want to read the account in Genesis where Eve was made. Not the flowery version you heard earlier. So I'm going to read from Genesis 2:18-25. It's good to read the word of the Lord, and it's good to back up everything we say by the word of the Lord. So it's, and the Lord said, "It is not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helper comparable to him." And that was the best thing God ever did. I mean, you know, if God hadn't made women, I don't know where man would be now. Anyway, out of the ground, the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every bird of the air and brought them to Adam to see what he would call them. Did you know that? Adam actually named all the animals. It wasn't God. He made them. Adam named them. And whatever Adam called each living creature, that was its name. So Adam gave names to all the cattle, to the birds of the air, and to every beast of the field. But for Adam, there was not found a helper comparable to him. And the Lord caused a deep fall on Adam, and he slept, and he took out of him his ribs. He took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh in its place. Then the rib which the Lord God had taken from man, he made into a woman, and he brought her to the man. And Adam said, "This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. Therefore a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh." And they were both naked, the man and his wife, and they were not ashamed. That was the most wonderful thing right at the very beginning when Eve was created. They were not ashamed. They had no sense of right or wrong, if you like. They just knew that everything was fine. And then the story goes on, unfortunately, and Adam knew what he was doing, but Eve was deceived. I'd love to get that one in. You know, Adam knew. God told Adam, "Don't eat of that fruit." Eve was deceived. But anyway, that's another story. Eve was the first woman, and obviously then going on to have children, the first mother. And while we were sitting listening to the worship, it just suddenly occurred to me that although Eve was the first woman, the first mother, and so all mankind comes from Adam and Eve, Mary was another first mother. She was the first mother of all of us who would be born again. You know, she bore Jesus. And she didn't have to. The angel came and told her, but she could have said, "No way, find someone else." But she knew and loved her God and was willing to be the mother of Jesus. And if it wasn't for Mary, none of us would be standing here today. I know if it wasn't for Jesus, none of us would be standing here today. But Mary was the mother of the first of us all born again. Just something that occurred to me while I was thinking. So all mankind came through Adam and Eve in the first place. And Jeremiah 1 verse 5, I put this down, and then I thought to myself, but he's talking to Jeremiah, but the Bible is talking to all of us in different ways. You know, God was talking to Jeremiah in the Bible, but it was for mankind to read. You know, so what God says to Jeremiah, he says to each one of us, and he says, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I sanctified you. How wonderful is that? None of us is a mistake. Now, some of us could, in growing up, think we were mistakes, but none of us, not one of us, is a mistake. God made each one of us for a purpose. He has a plan for every single person who is born, whether they're handicapped, whether they're perfectly formed, whether they are mentally impaired, whatever state we are born, God made us. And he didn't make mistakes. He made perfect people in him. And he made each one of us for a purpose. Now, this is where it gets different. I went off on a tangent after that when I was preparing and ended up giving a testimony. So you'll have to put up with hearing a bit about me. But it's very relevant. When I was born, my mum and dad wanted a boy. And I'm not just saying they frivolously thought, oh, we'd like a boy. They'd had a daughter. They definitely wanted a boy. My dad was of the old school where you had to carry on the family name. And unfortunately, he ended up with three daughters. No sons at all. But for some reason, when I was born, they wanted a boy more than when my younger sister was born. They had my older sister. That was okay. Next one's going to be a boy. But I wasn't. So I felt like that I know for a fact, you know, through growing up, that they were disappointed. My dad was disappointed that he didn't have a boy to carry on the family name. My mother was disappointed that she'd let my dad down. Sounds terrible, that, but I know this for a fact, and it's sad. I felt sad for my mother when I realised just how she felt about it. But I also, even though it wasn't said to me, as far as I can remember out loud, I knew that there was something that wasn't quite right, that I should have been a boy. But again, I've got another reading that applies to my mother and father in a way. Proverbs 16 verse 9 says, a man's heart plans his ways, but the Lord directs his steps. And the Lord formed me in my mother's womb before I was ever thought of by them. So they wanted a boy, but God wanted me to be born a girl for his purposes. So growing up, as I say, I felt like I was a disappointment to my parents for not being a boy. So I was a tomboy, and boy was I a tomboy. I wasn't masculine in any way. I mean, I think I've always been pretty feminine. But I loved playing with toy cars. I used to love it, getting in the dirt and making roads and mounds. And I loved playing with cars, and I loved climbing trees. Fell out of a tree more than once and ended up at the hospital. Scrumping, yeah. I went scrumping once with a crowd of kids, and I put my hand through the diamond mesh to get this apple or plum or whatever it was. We were living in Germany at the time, and it was a German family that lived there. And the man came out the house, everybody ran off, and I couldn't get my hand out. And I'm like, I always got caught. I was a proper tomboy, and I loved playing football. I hate football now, but I used to love playing football as a kid and cricket. I like playing sport, I'm not keen on watching it. And I think a lot of it was I was trying to get the approval of my parents, although I could never be a boy and I could never carry on the family name. I just, you know, wanted to do what I felt they wanted. So, and I was always in trouble. The main way I got attention was to do something wrong. I didn't get much attention when I was doing everything right, so I just did it wrong. So I was a bit of a pain in the neck as a child. Of course, I've changed a lot since then. So, anyway, this is when it gets serious. I've skipped a lot because I could talk about a lot of stuff, but when I was 21, I met Andrew. And I think, you know, that was a God appointment. We went out for a couple of weeks, I think, before Andrew actually mentioned that he went to church. And I actually said to him in the end, I said, why can't I see you on a Sunday and a Friday and a Tuesday? And they were all days when he was either at Bible study, church or youth meeting. But he hadn't said, and so I think I pushed the point, well, why can't I see you on a Sunday? I mean, Sunday's a day when you go out for the day and do stuff. And he said, I go to church. And I said, can I come? And he says, yeah. And I went to church, and it was a Pentecostal church, and that day changed the whole course of my life, because I heard about Jesus' love. I heard that Jesus loved me, not because of anything I'd done, not because I was this or that. He just loved me as I was. And I made a commitment and gave my heart to the Lord. And I know now why they call it being born again. Because your whole life, it just changes. And if it hasn't, it should. You know, it's hard to explain. You don't change overnight. It's a process. But you do change. Your whole outlook on life is different. And I was still living at home at the time, and my parents, well, my dad not so much, but my mum used to like to ridicule the fact that I went to this church. For a start, she thought I'd joined some weird sect. She'd never heard of Pentecostal. You know, they sort of went to Church of England occasionally. But I had to reassure her that I hadn't done anything really weird, but it was fine. Anyway, turn the page or so I'll ramble. So then, yeah. So anyway, from the day I asked Jesus into my life, I knew I was special to God, as we all are. And this is what I'm trying to get over today. You know, it's my testimony, but I'm talking to all of you about your lives as well. If you've asked Jesus into your heart, you are special. Even if you don't feel special, even if you don't feel right. You know, Patrick actually touched on it, I don't know if it was when you prayed or when you were giving your testimony, to say that, you know, we don't, it's a process, the flesh gets in the way. But God's in us right from the minute we get born again. And he's working his will out in our lives. The flesh does get in the way, but it doesn't stop God from continuing to work in our lives. You know, we're so special to him that nothing, I sing a song that nothing you can do can make him love you more, and nothing that you've done will make him close the door. You know, I haven't got it right all the time since I've been a Christian, and when I do get it wrong, I get it wrong big time. But God still loves me.
Sorry.
There's consequences to our actions after we've become a Christian. You know, we can suffer consequences for what we do if it's not right with God. But he still loves us, yeah. And he restores us, and he brings us back to the place where we should be. I always remember someone saying, you know, keep short accounts with God when you pray. If you've got things that you've done wrong, make sure you've confessed them, get them out of the way. Because the bigger the account, the further away you are from God. Not God hasn't moved, we move. So just keep that closeness with God. And however bad a situation is, God will restore us. Because in Jeremiah, again, it says, Jeremiah 29 verse 1 says, for I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. And that is so true. God wants to give every single one of us a future. And everybody out there, he wants to give them a future. He can only do for people out there if they come in here. Not here specifically, but in their hearts, come to Jesus. If we accept Jesus into our lives change. You know, once I became a Christian, once I got born again, I stopped, not right away, but I gradually stopped worrying about what other people thought of me. and think and whether I was good enough, whether I was doing the right thing, saying the right thing. I started to be the person that God had called me to be, and I relied on what God thought about me rather than what people thought about me. And I, even though I still do, I'm like that, I try and temper it with love. So if I, another thing that occurred to me is, while I'm up here, if I've upset anybody, I'm sorry. Because I don't do it on purpose, honestly. You know, I want to love and be loved, and that's what God wants. You know, as Andrew said last week about this here, love. We should be all those things, and when we fail in any one of them, God isn't going to hit us over the knuckles. But we can try harder. You know, we can do our best for God, and God, do our best for each other so that we can honour God in the way we behave. So it's not about being born a boy or a girl, a man or a woman. It's about being who God has called you to be. And I've written down here, whether you're a mother here today or not, God made you to be who you are. I know we were in America one year when it was Mother's Day, and my daughter-in-law, I've got two official grandsons and two that are all almost grandsons in America. But the two official ones are adopted. And the other two that aren't official yet will be adopted. And God's really blessed my son and his wife with these children. They are lovely children. But my daughter-in-law got a bit upset one Mother's Day because she went to church, and I don't know exactly what was said, but somebody said something that made her feel less than a mother because she hadn't given birth. But she is not less than a mother, because she is a wonderful mother to these children. But even if you hadn't had children in your home, you're still mothers. It's an instinct, I think, in women, that we're mothers, whether we're mothers to friends and or family or to a stranger. I think it's a built-in instinct that God's built in us, that we are mothers. All of us, whether we've given birth or not. So I just want all the ladies here to know today that if you didn't ever give birth, you're still a mother and you're still precious to God. So you are all women of God, perfect in Him. And I should say, men, you're all men of God, perfect in Him. God blessed me with two wonderful children, as I've said, and a good husband. My life's been so blessed. This week I've just felt so blessed. I don't know whether it's just spring coming or what, or I feel better because I've been poorly and I'm better now. But when you're not well, it really drags you down, doesn't it? But you know, that's when God carries us. We need to let Him carry us sometimes. I struggled to be well. I didn't want to be ill. But we shouldn't struggle, and we shouldn't settle for being ill, but we shouldn't get uptight about it. God carries us when we're not able to carry ourselves, but when we are, you know, it's great. So like I say, this week I felt really blessed and really on top form, and Facebook's helped. And so I've got, as I say, I've got two children, and I've got four grandsons in America, and I've got a fantastic granddaughter who's now in Australia. And I had a wonderful time earlier this year looking after my granddaughter. She's only 9 months old. Well, it's probably 10 months now. But, I got to the point, because I was looking after her while my daughter worked, that I was saying, wait a minute, Mummy will get you something in a minute. And I said, oh no, Nanny will. And yeah, I felt like a mum, and it was like, I didn't want to leave her when I had to leave her. But I just thank God for that time I was able to have with her. Rather than being negative and saying, oh, she's gone now, I'm positive, because God blessed me with that time with her. It was just wonderful. But thank God that when we go through valleys, we come out the other side. We don't stay there. There's that verse in the Bible that says, I pass through the valley of Baca. We pass through valleys, we don't stay there. If you do stay there and you make a tent, that's your fault. You don't have to. We pass through valleys, and usually when you come out of a valley, there's a mountain. So we cross the mountain and have time with the Lord in the mountain. We can be with God in the valley, but wonderful times in the mountain. I'd rather have more mountain than valley. I just wanted to add, I can't see the clock from here, that's good, isn't it? Oh dear. I was going to tell you a little testimony about my sisters, but I'll keep it really brief. I've been at odds with my sisters for years, for various reasons, whether it's because I was not the boy that I should have been. If I could go back to the beginning, we could analyse things so much, but you know, it's pointless. But the last few years before my mum died, things weren't good. Partly it was my mum's fault, but that's another story. And since my mum died, by the time my mum died, I had decided I wasn't going to bother with my sisters ever again. I only kept contact while my mum was alive. And that's bad of me as a Christian to think like that, but if you knew the situation, you'd perhaps understand, because that's the flesh. I was getting in the way of what God wanted. But anyway, since my mum died, my older sister especially, her whole demeanour changed. And she was being so nice to me. And I couldn't take it. And I was thinking, but I wasn't going to see them ever again. And she's being nice to me. Well, cut a long story short, I had a time with my younger sister while I was in England this last time. And I didn't know she got things that she was holding against me. But she wanted to clear the air. She said, I want to move on. So she came and we thrashed out these things that to clear the air. And the outcome of that is she's getting married in April. And she said she wanted me to come to the wedding. And I wasn't sure about it. She says, I'll pay for your flight. So I couldn't believe it. You know, I mean, this is my sister who I've been at odds with most of my life. Anyway, I said, no, you're not paying for the flight, we will come. I knew that it was important that she wanted us to go. So now, and I'm thinking, God, you are so amazing. You know, I was quite happy to close the door on my sisters. And I probably would have occasionally got upset that I wasn't talking to them, but I would have done it. But God didn't want me to do that. And he didn't want my sisters to do that. And whether they know him or not, I believe God orchestrated their hearts and mine and brought us back together. God wants us to love our families, even when they don't love us. And I did try, for years I did try. But anyway, I'm so pleased. I am happy that I am not at odds with my sisters anymore. I'm happy that I haven't shut the door on them. And God knew that that's what I needed. And I just thank God for bringing reconciliation into our lives. And I've put one more scripture verse, which is Romans 8:31, which is, if God is for us, who can be against us? My life is in God's hands. I could tell you so much more, but there's not enough time. All I want to say is that for 61 years, I've worked it out, I've been a Christian. I've been walking with the Lord. No, sorry, I'm 61.
Yes,
hang on a minute. I've written that down wrong. I'm 62, and I've been a Christian for 41 years. That was it. I put 61. It's prophetic. Perhaps I've got another 20. But, you know, some people, that when they get born again, they grow so quickly, and they become fantastic evangelists and pastors and all that of it. It took me 41 years to get to this place. And even now, I think there's been times when I've been more spiritual than I am now. You know, it is a journey. It's a journey of stops and starts, two back, one forward sometimes. It's a wonderful journey, and it's worth every minute of it. And I know that God's not finished with me yet. And when I was writing this, I sort of went off on a tangent, writing, and then I sort of, my life is in your hands. I thought, I'm going to sing that.